Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible. Here we study the Bible and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation by the grace of God. Today we shall complete our 21st book of the Bible, that is Ecclesiastes. And I thank God who enables us to study his word. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And I thank you for always joining in. If you've not been able to listen to the podcast we've done straight from the book of Genesis, you can find them on our app, Bible In Depth Network, or you can still find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Podbean, Apple Podcast. You'll find all podcasts there, and I believe the Lord shall bless you as you listen and also reveal his word to you, because there's no limitation to revelation. Today, I hope we can conclude the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll start with chapter 9. It says, "For I have taken all this to heart, exploring and examining it all, how the righteous," now by the righteous he means those that have a right standing with God, those that walk with God. Yeah. So he says, "How the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hands of God. No man knows whether it will be love or hatred. Anything awaits him." Yeah. Of course, you're living a righteous life, you're in the hands of God. You being wise, you're in the hands of God. And says, even your deeds are in the hands of God. So, whatever we do, we don't do it in our own power and might. We do it by the grace of God, because he holds us in his hands and enables us to do that which we want to do, that which we do, that which we hope to do. All is placed in the Lord. The greatest mistake I can ever make is to think that it is by my power and might that I walk a righteous life. That is the biggest mistake. It is God. He puts my life, puts my righteousness, puts my deeds in his hands. And I'm able to walk in a way that pleases him. It is the same for all. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for the good, for the clean and for the unclean, for the man who offers sacrifices and for the one who does not sacrifice. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As he who swears an oath is, so is he who is afraid to swear an oath. Yeah, he says it's the same for all. There is one fate. We all end in the same way. Only that there are consequences for the way you end. If you end wicked, there's destruction awaiting. If you end righteous, there's eternal life awaiting for you. This evil is in all that is done under the sun, that one fate comes to all. Also, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live and afterward go to the dead. Of course, the end game for everyone is death. That is a fact of life. Yeah, there is no exemption to that. But whoever is joined with all the living has hope. Surely, a live dog is better than a dead lion. Yeah? You've been poor. You've been lived a life that probably has not been so exciting. But a live dog is better than a dead lion. You've lived a mighty life, but without Christ, you're a dead lion. Yeah? So live a life that pleases God, because eventually there is an end for all and it is the same. But then the consequences of how you depart are key. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. And they no longer have a reward here, for the memory of them is forgotten. The moment you die, you are forgotten. That is a fact. They may mention you once in a while. Well, they are reciting their lineage, but that does not imply that they remember you, because they didn't even see you. Years to come, they will not remember you. So sometimes as we even struggle so much in life to make meaning and oppress everyone around us, it's good to know that there is an end, and in that end you will even be forgotten. Yeah. Indeed, their love, their hatred and their zeal have already perished. They will no longer have a share in this age in anything that is done under the sun. Go your way. Eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a cheerful heart. For God has already approved and accepted your works. Now they're talking to the righteous, yeah, to the wise, to those that are in the hands of God. Let your clothes be white with purity, and do not let the oil of gladness be lacking. On your head, keep purity. Keep purity as part of your life. Purity in all angles of life. Purity, keep it. Yeah. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given you under the sun all the days of vanity and futility. Yes, though they may be days of vanity, meaningless days, he says, live joyfully with the wife that you have. Live joyfully with your spouse. Enjoy. Yes, the days are vanity, but enjoy them with that person that God has brought into your life. Yeah, for this is your reward in life and your work in which, and in your work in which you have labored under the sun. Yeah, you know, having joy in a marriage, in a home, in a relationship, is a gift from God. It's a reward here on earth. So if you don't have that joy, and there's something that is missing, I need to find that joy. I need to find it because it's a reward for life. Good companionship is a reward for life. Yeah. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol. That is the place of the dead. Where you are going is telling them, if your hands have something to do it with all your might. I don't do something just haphazard. I do something with all that I have, with high commitment, with focus, with all the things that I have to place in it to see that it succeeds. What I have, I do it. What has been set before me, I do it with all my might. Because where you go after life, there is no activity such as that. Where you go after life, there will not be that working of yours, getting in your car and going to work. There won't be that activity of yours going to the farm. That is not part of the activities of life after death. So whatever you have to do, you can't say that I will farm harder. Eh? I will sell my business harder after death. No. Do it now with all that you are. I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong, and neither is bread to the wise, nor riches to those of intelligence and understanding, nor favor to men of ability. But time and chance overtake them all. Yeah? That is key for us to know. For a man also does not know his time of death. Like a fish caught in a treacherous net, and birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are ensnared in an evil time when a dark cloud suddenly falls on them. You do not have an assurance of the future. You don't have assurance even of your life. So be ready at all times. Do things that honor God. Live a life that is righteous. Yeah? And it's very, very key. The battle is not to the strong. It's not swift to the strong. Bread is not to the wise. It is all chance and time. You don't know when it's going to happen. Yeah? The wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and great it was to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, and built great battlements against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and by his wisdom he rescued the city. Yet no man remembered that poor man. That's what we've been saying. Sometimes you do great things, but still you'll be forgotten. In whatever I'm trying to do, trying to set a legacy, set a life, make sure I'll be remembered for ages to come, a day comes when you are forgotten. Even not everyone in the world will know you. That is good enough fact for me to know that I need to take a chill pill and relax. Because sometimes we go out and do things that are even hurting others. All because we're fighting for a name to be remembered. Yet, they're telling us here of a poor man who saved an entire city, but no one remembered him. But I say that wisdom is better than strength, though the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heeded. The words of a wise man heard in quietness are better than the shouting of one who rules among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Chapter 10, dead flies make the oil of the perfumer give off a foul odor. So a little foolishness in the one who is esteemed outweighs wisdom and honor. If people take you in high regard, if people respect you, give you honor, they listen to you, be careful not to bring foolishness out of your mouth, because it outweighs the wisdom and honor. Well, see, we thought this was a respectable man, the man we call all these titles, and he's coming out to speak foolishly. The reason they are telling us this is you've got good perfume and you've put dead flies in there. All dead flies have fallen in it and they've messed it up. It smells bad. That's the comparison to a man in authority, a man who is esteemed, who brings out words that are foolish. It's better you keep quiet than to speak and people take away all the honor that they had for you. A wise man's heart turns towards the right, which is the way of blessing, but a fool's heart turns him toward the left, which is the way of condemnation. Even when a fool walks along the road, his common sense and good judgment fail him, and he demonstrates to everyone that he is a fool. If the temper of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post showing resistance. Do not leave your post, because composure and calmness prevent great offenses. All this is in the way you act, and we looked at much of this in the book of Proverbs as well. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, like an error which proceeds from the ruler. Folly is set in many exalted places and in great dignity, while the rich sit in humble places. I have seen slaves riding on horses and princes walking like slaves on the ground. This man has seen it all. He's seen the great fall and seen the poor rise. It happens in life. So whichever state you might be in and you feel like you're finished, it's not the end. You can rise up. You can get up. You can prosper in life. And if you are in a privileged position right now and you're treating yourself with all that pride and feeling like you're the greatest of them all, there's a reminder here. You can also fall. We bench our success on the Lord. When the Lord prospers you, tie closer to him. Move closer with him, not away from him, because there can come a fall. And you'll be like this. They're talking about princes that are walking like slaves on the ground. He who digs a pit for others may fall into it, and a serpent may bite him who breaks through a stone wall. He who quarries stones may be hurt with them, and he who splits logs may be endangered by them. If the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. But wisdom helps him succeed. If the serpent bites before being charmed, then there is no profit for the charmer. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious and win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of his talking is foolishness, and the end of his talk is wicked madness. Yet the fool multiplies words, though no man knows what will happen, and who can tell him what will come after he is gone. The labor of a fool so worries him that he does not even know how to go to a city. Solomon talked much about foolishness. I think because he was too wise, he had a clear example of people who were not in his same bracket. And it's not good. The report of the fool, that as it's described here, is not a good report. There's nothing good spoken about being a fool. So I need to run away from that bracket. I don't have to even get close to it. It is not joyful. Yeah. And he goes on and says, blessed are you, O land, when your king is a man of noble birth, and your princes and officials feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Through laziness, the rafters of state affairs decay, and the roof sags. Through idleness, the house leaks. The officials make a feast for enjoyment instead of repairing what is broken, and serve wine to make life merry. And money is the answer to everything. You know, sometimes we think it is money that matters, yet cracks are developing. It's money that matters, yet relationships are breaking down. That is for the fool. The wise one will know the things that matter and know that money is not everything. Moreover, do not curse the king even in your bedroom. Yeah? They're telling them here, do not curse the king even when you're locked up in your room. Yeah? Even in your sleeping rooms, do not curse the rich. For a bird of the air will carry the sound, and a winged creature will make the matter known. There are some things you do, some words you speak, and you think they end with you, yet somebody actually takes them out. Say, how did this come out? You should not have said it in the first place. Yeah? Instead of looking for who spread the rumor and the gossip, you yourself deal with the gossip in the first place and don't even go ahead to gossip. Don't go ahead to talk about others negatively. Yeah, it's better that you don't speak than to try and protect the rumor or the gossip from going out. Chapter 11, cast your bread on the surface of the waters. Be diligently active, make thoughtful decisions, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and even divide it to eight, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. Yeah? They're saying split some things. Don't keep everything with yourself. Yeah? Have custodians. They can help you. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it lies. He who watches the wind will not sow. Yeah? Because you're waiting for conditions to be perfect. And he who looks at the clouds will not reap. There are some things we don't want to do because you're scared. But if you keep watching the wind, you won't sow. If you're waiting for the perfect time to get married, you will not get married. If you're waiting for the perfect time to start that business, you will not start it. If you're waiting for the perfect time to make that key decision in your life, you will not make it. Yeah? There's no perfect time. Sometimes you need to go out and do. Just as you do not know the way and path of the wind and how the bonds are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, even so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. You don't know how God operates. So sometimes I may want to prepare myself so much, but I need to leave it to the Lord. Some things you need to leave it to the Lord. Yeah, you fear to get into commitment because you say you want to be at a given state of income. But you can still get that state of income. Get into a marriage, and a few months or years down the road, you're back to zero. Do you get out of the marriage? No, you don't. You have to walk in it. Sometimes we get scared to do things, make key decisions in life. Start that activity, that business that you've always hoped for. Make a key decision. Start to build that house. Start to go out and do something. And you're scared because you're waiting for the day you get money for all the materials of the house. Start on it because it is in the hands of God. He's the one who makes all things. It's not in your power. Sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle with your hands in the evening. For you do not know whether morning or evening planting will succeed. Whether this or that or whether both alike will be good. The light is sweet and pleasant, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Yes, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all. Yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is to come will be futility. Rejoice, young man, in your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant in the days of your young manhood. Yeah, and walk in the ways of your heart and in the desires of your eyes, but know that God will bring you into judgment for all these things. Therefore, remove sorrow and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, for childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Yeah? And this is the last chapter of this book, chapter 12 of the book of Ecclesiastes. That's what we'll start on right now. It says, remember also your creator in the days of your youth, for you are not your own but his. Key word, remember the Lord in the days of your youth. You know, sometimes when we are young, we feel we own life. We feel we are the decision makers. We feel everything is under control. We know what to do. We don't even get any counsel of any sort. But remember your Creator. In the days of your youth, reason, you are not your own. The day that I know that I'm not my own, but I'm for the Lord, is the day I enter into a realm of prosperity, into a realm of deliverance, into a realm of perfection of righteousness, because I am not my own. Whatever I might do, whatever I might think, whatever I might have achieved in school or wherever it is, does not imply that it is about me. It's about the Lord. Even everything that I do, it has the Lord involved. It's a representation of the Lord. I need to go out and I know that every day I step out, I'm representing the Lord. Yeah? So he's saying, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you say of physical pleasures, I have no enjoyment and delight in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the by impaired vision and the clouds of depression return after the rain of tears. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow themselves and grinders cease because they are few, and those eyes who look through the windows grow dim, and when the doors or lips are shut in the streets and the sound of the grinding of the teeth is low, and one rises at the sound of a bird and the crowing of a rooster, and all the daughters of music, that means your voice, your ears, sing softly. Before you grow old, always walk with the Lord. Remember, your youthfulness is a period for you to walk with the Lord. Otherwise, we come out and start to speak of the things we regret that we did in our youthfulness. Yet at the time, when I needed to know that I am not my own, and I have to walk with the Lord, and I have to do as the Lord tells me, I neglected it. I did not walk with Him. I did not stand for Him. And now I am old, and I'm walking and talking regret about my life. That's what they're saying here. Remember the Lord. Remember the Creator in your time of youth. You will have better words to say in the future. Furthermore, they are afraid of a high place and of dangers on the road. The almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper is a burden. And the capperberry, talking about desire and appetite, fails. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets and marketplaces. The day comes when you've gone. But which home are you going to? What's your eternal place? Is it a place of life or a place of destruction, a place of pain? Honestly, remember your Creator before the silver cord of life is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, or the pitcher at the fountain is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust out of which God made man's body will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. A day comes when this body that you have returns to the earth, when it's no more, that body that was so beautiful that shook all the heads of men, that body that was so beautiful that everyone who looked at you admired to have it, the six-pack, the big muscles, the beautiful body and all the shape that you are given as a woman. A day comes when all that is gone. A day comes, and it's a fact of life, because you're not the first handsome man that has ever lived. You're not the first beautiful woman that has ever lived. All have lived and gone down, back to dust, back to the earth from which they came. But there's one thing that remains. The spirit returns to God who gave it. And that going, that return is key, because with it comes accountability. How did I live my life? How did I live my life? Was it pleasing to the Lord or not? And then judgment comes to judge you whether you walked a life that honored Him, whether you did that which He expected of you, or you took matters in your own hands because you felt that you are on your own. We are not our own. We belong to the Creator. So whatever we do is for the Creator. And he says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All that is done without God's guidance is vanity. Anything that I do without God's guidance is meaningless. Anything that I do without the guidance of God is meaningless. It is futile. It is empty. Everything is tied to the Lord. Everything I do is tied to the Lord. And I will stand for the Lord. When I go out in the city, I'll go with the Lord. Then, there my life is not vanity. Furthermore, because the preacher was wise, he still told the people knowledge, and he pondered and searched out and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words, even to write correctly words of truth. The words of the wise are like gods, and these collected sayings are firmly fixed in the mind like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, about going further than the words given by one shepherd, be warned. The writings of many books is endless. So do not believe everything you read. And excessive study and devotion to books is wearing to the body. You know, sometimes you wear yourself out with the many things you do, the many summons from different preachers and different prophets, and what does this one have to say, and what does this one have? And eventually you're confused. So many books have been written, but you won't read them all. So many sermons have been preached, but you won't listen to them all. So many prophecies have been made, but they don't all belong to you. You weary yourself. You weary your body. You get yourself tired. Yeah. When all has been heard, the end of the matter is fear God. That is the final thing about it all. When all has been heard, when all has been said, when all has been done, what am I supposed to do? The end of the matter is, I need to fear God. What does it mean to fear God? You worship Him with reverence. You honor Him. You respect Him. You know that He's the Almighty. Yeah? So when everything has been done, whether I understand it or not, I have to just fear God. Make a decision to fear God. Make a decision to worship God, to walk with God, to respect Him, to stand for Him, to honor Him, to represent Him. So he says, when all has been heard, when all has been done, I need to fear God. Let everything fail in this world, but let me never fail to fear God and keep His commandments, for this applies to every person. He says, fear God, keep His commandments, and this applies to every person. It applies to every person. As long as you're on the earth, this applies to you. You must fear God. You must keep His commandments. Whether you're a preacher, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a prophet, whether you're just a normal person, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, fear God. Keep His commandments. Whether you feel you're the greatest man that has ever lived, fear God. Keep His commandments. Whether you feel you're the greatest prophet that has ever lived, fear God. Keep His commandments. Whether you feel that you own your life, there's a caution here. Fear God. Keep His commandments. That is an instruction that goes out to all mankind. For God will bring every act to judgment, every hidden and secret thing, whether it is good or evil. Everything that I do, everything that I've done, every issue in my life, every step I've taken, every action I've done, good or bad, God will bring it to judgment. And those things that I've done in secret, the words I've talked about others in secret, the pain I've caused others in secret, Those things I've done in my room closed up there, whether good or evil, God will bring it to judgment. That is the purpose of my life. To live a life that honors God, because I know that a day comes where judgment has to be done. What does your life look like? What does my life look like? It needs to stand for the Lord. Honor the Lord, because a day comes when I have to stand before Him and account for each and everything that I've done. So this book of Ecclesiastes talks about the fact that I need the Lord, because everything else is vanity. The only thing that makes meaning in life is the Lord. That marks the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. May we pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your revelation. We thank you that you speak to us every day. And mighty Father, may you walk with us. May you help us live lives that honor you, because a day is coming where we have to account and stand in judgment before you for the things that we've done. May we do good all the days of our lives, and may we fear you. May we keep your commandments, because that's a call upon our lives. We exalt you and give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.